Listening to the Bogus Otis Show. It's the only podcast dedicated to my buddy Sammy. Sammy Hagar, that is. What is understood need to be discussed, especially if it's about Sammy Hagar. Yeah.
Albuquerque to Buffalo, we like them wings with Tabasco, red voodoo style. Why? Because we are the world's only dedicated Sammy Hagar podcast. This is the Bogus Otis Show. I am Bo-host Brent. That is Bo-host Darren D, my brother. It's our season 3 finale.
I can't believe that. I can't. Season 4, here we come. And hey, what better way to wrap things up for season 3 than this very special guest tonight?
Yeah, you got it. I think we're going to hit a little mas tequila along the way here. So, we had a great weekend in Southern Ontario, some pretty nice weather. It's starting to get a little bit mild here. You must have been going through the cocktail hits, you know, also known as the Bible Part 2. What did you drink this weekend? Maybe you're having one right now. I don't know.
Well, okay. So usually I have some sort of Sammy official libation in my hand, but I have a friend who's a sommelier. And in my research for Sammy's favorite wines, I came across a wine that I've been kind of tracking for a while called Plump Jack, which apparently was on, I guess Sammy had a party for Super Bowl 50 some years ago at El Paseo, his restaurant, right? His former restaurant.
Yes.
And he had a Cabernet Sauvignon called Plump Jack, which he loved apparently. So my sommelier friend, it's expensive. So I have two fingers of that wine. And it's pretty damn good. So it's from California, as is our guest, right?
I like it.
We're keeping in the theme, and it's red, so we're good on all.
Well,
let's
do it. Let's just get right into it. So I'm gonna read this little lyric here. It's from a song called "Bring It Back," and it says, "Today's music ain't got no soul, got no feeling, no self control. Homemade media got you hypnotized, welcoming you to your sweet demise." I love that. Look, we're going to keep rock alive in Sacramento and on the Bogus Otis Show. Super special guest. This is the front man of a band that takes its name from Sammy's 1999 Red Voodoo album. It is lead singer and front man for Red Voodoo. Welcome to the Bogus Otis Show, Dino McCord. Dino, it's great to have you, my man.
Thanks for having me, guys. What's going on?
It's 5150 Bocephus time.
Oh, yeah.
It's full Bocephus mode. Absolutely. Listen, we're going to start off by saying thank you. And the reason why I'm saying thank you is there's a lot of people out there in the world right now that say rock is dead. Rock ain't dead. Thank you for doing your part to keep rock alive. For sure. So listen, why don't you tell us a little bit about how did the band come to be? What's your musical journey? What made you pick up a guitar? And then, of course, how do you get hooked up with the Red Rocker?
All right, here we go, boys. Woo! It's a big story time right here. So I'll start off with just myself. So my dad was in bands back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. And he basically just taught me everything I know. You know, he was in a band called Teaser here in Sacramento. And you know, around the house, I be seeing photos of him on the wall and stuff, and be like, hey, you know, what's that? He's like, oh, that's my old local band, you know. And I started getting introduced to, you know, Guns N' Roses, Poison, you know, all those type of hair metal bands. But I really didn't start getting into it until I was about in like eighth grade, where I was like, oh man, you know, I kind of like this for myself kind of thing, you know, not just what my dad does. But, you know, really, it all started when my dad took me to go see Sammy Hagar for the first time. It was in South Lake Tahoe at, I believe it's called Harvey's. And yeah. I was about 17 years old, and I was mind blown. He was with the Circle. He was doing the At Your Service tour where they did that live record.
Right? Oh, cool. Okay.
Right.
Cool.
So saw him for the very first time, changed my life forever. I'm telling you, okay? So I got home and I was like, I want to form a band, I want to be a singer. So what I did was every single day in the shower, I would sing 5150 on repeat, song after song, good enough, get up, every single song off that track, and my parents are sitting downstairs and going, "Oh man, that guy sucks. He's not great. He's not great at singing." But I did it every single day until one day my mom was like, "Hey, you're not half bad." So, ever since I saw Sammy, I was like, "I want to be that guy. I want to do that. I want to be that for my generation." Right then and there, and that always struck a chord with me. So then it was about, all right, now I need to form a band who likes not only that type of music, but wants that Van Hagar feel. There's so many bands out there. No offense to DLR, but kind of do more of the Daily Roth stuff. Well, I found guys that all like the Sammy Hagar, Van Hagar sound, all bonded over that. So we took that. We took my dad's band name Teaser from back in the day, like I mentioned, and we ran with that and played so many every Van Hagar song we know in the book, probably, Maybe not Apolitical Blues, but basically all of them. And now I'm going to get to where we kind of connected with Sammy here. So we were busking in downtown Sacramento in 2019. And a guy walks by, right? Sees us and says, "Hey, what's up?" And he says, "Yeah, man, I was the guitar player for out in the house band at the Roseville Sammy's Beach Bar and Grill. He was the guitar player. So he was connected with everybody and all that, and in the Sammy camp. And he sent it off to Ken Jensen. Do you guys know who Kenny is?"
Yeah. Security, right? A
And
couple.
yeah, he's kind of like a jack of all trades in the Sam camp. Is my audio okay? Just want to make sure.
You're good.
Yeah,
You're good,
you're
brother.
good. I got a little
Oh, okay.
problem on I had a problem on my end, so we'll edit this
Oh, okay. Good
little piece
deal.
out. Yep.
All good. All good. So, anyways, so he was the guitar player for the house band in the Roseville Cabo Wabo. My bad, the Sammy Beach Bar and Grill. And he goes and sends a video to Ken, says, "Hey Ken, check these guys out. These guys are playing Finish What You Started. They're busking on the street, And I think we made like $14 that day and went to round table and
Spent
actually probably couldn't
17.
even afford a round table. Right. Yeah. So we went to a pizza shop and that kind of thing. But it kind of got to Sammy through Ken. And it's just through a network, it's kind of like stairs and it's crazy. It all kind of went there. So we were working with Frank Hannon from Tesla, right?
Love Tesla.
And oh yeah, they're amazing. And this was during the lockdown. Okay, so this is in 2020. In 2019, people have been saying, "Hey, there's this cover band that's playing all your stuff and that kind of thing." And Sammy got word of it. Now in 2020, the whole world shut down, and we were finally starting to write original songs, right? We're bringing it back, as you said, kind of comes into play. This is before. Now there's this rock, resurrection or something going on right now. Greta Van Fleet, Dirty Honey. I could go on and on about all these new bands that I
Dirty
look up
Honey's
to.
awesome.
Oh, they're the
I'm
best.
so glad you mentioned Dirty Honey because
Yeah.
I was gonna say that that's the kind of vibe that we need to keep alive for sure.
Oh, 100%, 100%. So when I wrote Bring It Back in 2019 with the boys, it was that kind of feeling. And when Frank's from Tesla, and he heard of us, he was like, "Oh man, these guys are great." And we recorded two singles together, Rise Up, which is about kind of how, I felt. I was living in downtown Sacramento at the time, whole world was shut down. But really at the heart, the song's about the COVID and the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, but it really, on a broader picture, is about just bringing everyone together and all being on the same page and peace and love, Well, Frank and Sammy got in contact, and really the first time I've ever talked to Sammy, and I've never told this story, so this is exclusive for you guys,
All right.
since it is a Sammy podcast, He sent me a text on my birthday, on my 18th birthday, and just kind of, he's been watching Red Voodoo throughout the years and that kind of thing since 2019, and he was like, "Hey man, you know you guys are doing great, kicking ass, you know that kind of thing, and can't wait to see where you guys go." And he posted a video of us doing heavy metal. We went to Burbank, in the LA area, and we did this Monsters of Rock Cruise broadcast, right? So it was a live stream that they put out, and we did heavy metal, and Sammy was cool enough to share it on his Instagram. So that was super cool. It's buried by now, but no, that was really cool. But ever since then, you know, he's really helped us out and kind of mentored myself when it comes to, you know, giving me a whole book of the do's and don'ts of singing and everything that he's learned from his insane career. And he's my hero, man. I mean, there's really, you know, nothing else to it than that. Same with you guys, you know, like he's Sammy Hagar, you know.
That's an awesome story, man. There's actually shades of
Thanks.
how we started this podcast. It was kind of,
Yeah.
and how we got, to the attention of Sammy and his team was kind of just, following the passion of the music and see where it led us, right? That's an amazing story.
Right.
So
Oh,
my first
thanks,
question is,
man.
you first said, so hold on. So you're 17 when you discover him, and 18
Yes.
you're getting texts from Sammy.
Right.
That's pretty good, man. Not
It was,
bad.
yeah.
And so when you first mentioned your father getting, was your father a singer as well, or what did he do in his band?
He was a bass player.
Bass
He was
player.
a bass
Okay.
player.
And he
Yeah.
turns you on to
Yeah.
all kinds of bands like, Guns N' Roses, Poison,
Oh, yeah.
awesome
Queensryche. You
singers in
know, I
those
can go.
bands too. What was it about Sammy that really like caught your soul, man?
You know, I think when I first saw him, honestly, I can't really pinpoint exactly what it was. Maybe just his personality, his positive nature, just his, you know, just he made fe people feel happy, you know, feel important. I think that's what it was. And I was like, I want to do that for other people. There was no other singer, you know, you look at all the other 80s hair metal bands and that kind of thing in the 70s, but there's just something special about Sammy that I still can't even kind of pinpoint, you know. But it was just that feeling where I was like, you know what? I want to do that for other people. And that's all it really is to it.
That's what I was hoping your answer would be, because Brett and I talk about this all the time, obviously. But I mean, like those two other singers, Axl, Brett Michaels, they're great singers. But in my
Great
mind,
singers.
Sammy's personality, but also his chops. You mentioned 5150, you sing in the
Oh,
shower.
dude. Oh, my
Who can
God.
match,
Yeah.
who can sing like he does on that album, right?
I mean, think about Inside, you know, that track, Inside, the very last track of 5150, how high he really goes in that song. They never played it live, maybe for that reason. But I mean, he is going
We're
up
hoping he
there,
brings.
man.
We're hoping he sings it. Brett and I talk about bringing that song out live
Right?
on this
I
tour,
know,
man.
right? Like, why
Come
not? You
on,
know,
inside, Sammy. Come on.
just have Joe and Joe Satriani
And
and
bring Dino up, Sammy, for
Jason and
that tune.
Michael. Right?
Yeah, there you
You
go.
know what? They should bring all three of us up and we could just be the talking parts in the background of that song.
Let's do it. Yeah, we can do it. We can do
That's
it. We'll
awesome.
go on tour.
100%.
Listen, I read a little bit of the lyric from Bring It Back, and you know, we're
Yeah.
talking about the vibe and the feel and the, you know, keeping hard rock, classic rock alive. You mentioned Dirty Honey.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie's Kid Wolfgang and Mammoth WVH, you know,
Oh,
another
love them.
example of just, you know, they're a little bit more 90s alt leaning, but it's hard-edged stuff. You know,
Right.
the days of the Guitar Hero is not a thing anymore. And you know, when I listen to a song like Bring It Back, for me, it actually, there's a little bit of kind of vintage 70s vibe in there for me. And it actually reminded me of like a little bit of Iron Maiden, a little bit of Ronnie James Dio. And it just, you know, that kind of hard edge, but you know, melodic voice. And you know, this is something we talk about with Sammy all of the time. You know, his songs are, and this is not a knock, many of his best songs are simple songs.
It's
They're
true.
the riff rock based. He takes his voice to a level that nobody else can take it to, and that is something that is, I think, increasingly rare in music today. So here's what I want to ask you. We'll have a little bit of fun here.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the age of American Idol now, right? I talk about guests with this all the time. You know,
Yeah.
there's no more slogging it out on the Sunset Strip and the Whiskey a Go Go and Gazari's and all the old clubs in Hollywood. You know, now today, and maybe it's not wrong, but maybe it is. Now, I can go on American Idol next week, and I could end up with a recording contract and a world tour and be an A-level artist like that without paying your dues, without the grind. So, how do you feel about the music industry today, being a young guy, a young band? You know, I get the vibe that you guys are all about, you know, we want to pay our dues, we need to work hard, we need to prove ourselves. How does that sit with you in the face of a phenomenon that is American Idol, where, you know, you could also go that route potentially and tomorrow be the next star on the top of the charts?
You know, I would rather grind and fail than sell out and go on that show. 100%, 100%, you know. And I think it's the journey of it. You know, if you just go on that show and, you know, be pretty and you know, and have somewhat of talent, I think it's more fulfilling and rewarding if you grind it out and you do get there and you're like, I earned this shit. You know, I don't know if I could cuss on this channel or whatever,
You can say
but
whatever you want.
whatever you want, brother.
Oh, fucking A. All right, cool. No, you know what I mean? It's like, I think it's more rewarding and more fulfilling if, you know, and that's what we're doing. That's what Red Voodoo is doing right now. We have so many things in the works currently, and we're ready for the grind. So that's my take on that.
That's a rock and roll answer, brother. So look,
It's
being a veteran of a band for almost a decade, where's the rest of the guys stand? And you know, I'm assuming you're in this for the end game. Go as far as you can, ride this train to the end.
Oh yeah, we all are. 100%.
That's what I was gonna ask. Bands are
Yeah.
like a four-way, five-way marriage sometimes. Is everyone else, they're at the same level of passion for this endeavor?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. We're all in it, and that's the thing, is I think the hardest part, and you know, like if you're in a band or you're in a band, you know, it's really about the commitment. You could have the skill, the talent, but I really believe it's the chemistry and the commitment that really makes a band go far, you know. And that's when I first formed the band, I wanted, you know, commitment, you know, this ain't gonna work, and the chemistry. And we have both. And hopefully you guys could catch us live one day, or we come to you and play, and you'll see it, man. I have a real tight band, real great guys, my best friends, and that's what it's all about right there, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's absolutely the way it should be. Let's talk for a minute about some demographics. So, you know, I've said a couple of times about, you know, people say rock is dead, and we say it absolutely is not. People say, you know, we need that return to the age of the guitar hero and classic rock. And I want to ask you a question about Eddie Van Halen as well. But
Oh, yeah.
from a demographic perspective, what kind of audience are you guys looking to appeal to? Are you trying to kind of have some nostalgia with old 80s rock fans? Are you trying to get young music fans interested in this kind of music? Is it a mix of both? When you guys are thinking about the songs you're writing, the gigs that you're booking, the plans that you have to grow the band, where do you sort of see yourselves landing in the musical landscape?
You know, I think wherever the music landscape really throws us out into is, of course, we'll welcome any fans. But yeah, I would say, you know, I think younger bands and the younger audience, I think that's really what we're trying to grasp towards for sure. And as well as the more experienced fans as well, both, you know, we'll take anybody. But it's kind of cool because, you know, you get, you know, people my age, I'm 21, that aren't. They don't know rock. They don't know Iron Maiden, Queens, right? Guns N' Roses, you know, whoever. And they're like,
Blasphemy, blasphemy.
right, I know, right? I know. You know, and they go, oh, whoa, what's that sound? That sounds, you know, because everything, I believe everything comes back around, you know, it's all in a big old circle, that kind of thing, you know. So it's kind of cool when we could play, you know, the music that we play. And they're like, oh wow, that's really cool. And it gives us a really cool feeling as well. So I think more of a younger audience trying to grasp onto that, kind of the same concept that Gerda Van Fleet has been going, where they get this kind of cult following of young fans, but you still get respect from the people that were there, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And when a fan comes up or someone comes up and they're like, you know, man, you guys are insane. And I saw Sammy Hagar back, you know, at the All Night Long live tour or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. You know, you were there and you think that were really cool, and that means a lot too, you know.
Hi, this is Cameron Schubert, the head brewer of a Red Rocker Brewing Company, and you're listening to the Bogasota Show. That's
I
cool.
mentioned Eddie Van Halen, so I want to ask you this. You know, you told us the story about, you know, how you first got exposed to Sammy and his music and what sort of started you on this journey. You know, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't put Eddie Van Halen in the middle of this conversation and that topic as well. And I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, not many 17-year-olds are going to be singing 5150 in the shower, first off. And also, you know, let's be real, not many 21-year-olds even know who the hell Van Halen is
Now that's
and the
sad.
music about it.
Blasphemy!
Also, that's
Blasphemy!
right. Also,
That's right,
blasphemy. So, talk to us about, you know, learning more about the music, listening, and being exposed to more of the back catalog. And we can talk about David Lee Roth a little bit here too. I mean, we like to we poke fun at him every once in a while. We have a good time.
Oh, good deal.
What kind of influence did Eddie have on you, or does Eddie have on you now, kind of having yourself exposed over the last handful of years, to such an incredible catalog of music?
Man, you know, Eddie, I'll tell you. First of all, my guitar player, David Mueller, who I think you guys should also have on this show, who's a total Eddie nut. That's how, you know, he was like, "Oh man, you sound like Sammy." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you play like Eddie. Let's form a band." That kind of thing. So we have that kind of really, really cool connection. But, you know, honestly, with Eddie, you know, everyone talks about his solos and how great they are, and they are amazing. But I think from what Red Voodoo or myself have taken away from Eddie, listening to his back catalog, listening to, you know, all the way from Van Halen debut, you know, to even A Different Kind of Truth, that Roth record, is his rhythm playing, you know, is really his rhythms. If you listen to his rhythms, they're so precise, so clean, and so intricate and so interesting that I would say that is the one thing that I've learned as mostly a rhythm player in the band, that I've kind of taken away from, you know. And even, you know, and my favorite Sammy record is I've Never Said Goodbye. My favorite Sammy record of all time. You know, Privacy, Standing at the Same Old Crossroads, When the Hammer Falls Down, amazing songs. But the one thing that that record has, is Eddie helped produce it. You could hear, it's almost like a weird Sammy Hagar, Eddie Van Halen love child kind of record, because it really has that Eddie Van Halen influence on it that you can really hear. And that record's just phenomenal. So yeah.
That's awesome. That record, after 5150, I got that album, and that cemented my Sammy flag forever, right? I think that album's fantastic. And you're right, like you talk about 5150, like as much as you know, I'm a guitar player, and 5150 blew my mind for the leads and the riffs, but like I love 5150 for the rhythm guitar in those songs. There's some
Oh
great
yeah, I mean, even
jams
in the
behind
song,
those solos, right?
right? Even in the
Super
song
tight.
5150, you know, I mean, even you go, I think my favorite, you know, Live Without a Net, I studied that concert. You know, my guitar player, David, he was watching that concert when he was 4 years old, talking about someone who he's been playing guitar his whole life. You know, talking about Eddie. But I mean, yeah, I mean the solo rhythm part in that song, you know, the down out, dun, 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 down and down out, that whole rhythm part. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's a masterpiece.
Well, you talk
Totally.
about Inside, the song Inside. A lot of people dismiss or forget about that song, but that song to me has some, one of the best rhythm guitar playing in the
Oh,
background, right? It's
dude,
awesome.
100%. Yeah, no, so good. I mean, even off of Oh Yeah, One Two, you know, Naturally Wired, AFU, you know, that song has some, even Source of Infection, even that song just goes off, which is Ed's, you know, insane guitar ability. You know, I mean, For Unlawful Crown Knowledge, you know, In and Out, Man on a Mission. You know, those are the songs I think from Red Voodoo that we really, you know, and I'll tell you this, guys, Bring It Back and Rise Up, we wrote those in 2019. We just cut our record with Sammy's producer, Jameson Durr, who did, oh, I'm blanking, Space Between, the Space
Space
Between
Between.
record. Yes, phenomenal record. Love that record. And we were honored and humbled that he would even want to work with us. And we recorded it in High Street Studios in San Francisco. And we just got, you know, a five-song EP. And I would really say, from a standpoint, you know, Mystery Girl, that was on the EP. I think I sent you guys that. But that's really going to be our sound. And we've taken a lot of inspiration from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge for our debut EP, which we're really stoked about. So that one's really cool.
If you're gonna choose, if you're gonna choose an album to base some of your music around, there's not much better than that. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I love 5150, 812, you know, Balance. But there's something about that record in '93 when they were just on their game. You know, I mean, all I have to go off of is just the videos I see on YouTube that I watch religiously. But just, you know, just with talking to people and just been seeing it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's when they were on their peak level right there.
Yeah, the energy at those shows was pretty crazy. I saw three shows on that tour, and
so badass.
I still have memories.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. What so you really, let me ask you this. Did they ever do a cover that wasn't part of their set, I would say? Like, for example, they did Panama that went into Born on the Bayou or Wild Thing or something like that. Did they do a cover at all or make it last?
There was a lot of little bits and pieces I remember that were just sort of jams that would meander into
stuff. That's so rad.
A few parts of a couple of songs, and this is something we talk about on the show all the time, is, you know, there are some songs that we would just have loved to see Sammy on one side of the stage and Eddie on the other side of the stage, and they just do a dueling jam back and forth and just riff on it. Make a song 10 minutes long. I don't care. Like, just
right. Yeah.
Just go. Yeah. I think they did Waiting for the Bus at some point in time.
Oh, dude, yeah.
In
the early 90s. Waiting for the Bus all day. Oh, yeah, yep. Dude. Right on.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty fun stuff. So I want to read this to you as well. This Sammy has become, you know, very clearly a mentor to you and to your band on several levels. You know, I think it's beyond just simply an influence. He's helped you. He's supported you. You've been on the stage at the Cantina. And we're going to talk about that as well.
Yeah.
So this is what Sammy said. I found this quote about you guys. He said, "Red Voodoo is a breath of fresh air in today's pop culture of music. You can hear the influence of all the classic hard rock bands from the 70s and 80s with a young, fresh twist." So very similar to what we've been talking about for the last half an hour. You must pinch yourself. How do you have this moment where you're like, this dude who I'm idolizing has said such kind, positive things. He has gotten behind our career to the point where you find yourself on the stage at the Cabo Wabo Cantina. Tell us a little bit about what was that experience like to walk out on that stage, to play front of that crowd that very clearly is there for one reason. They're there for the guy that owns that bar. You know, right. for you to be able to showcase your talent and get an opportunity to promote yourselves in front of those people. Just talk to us a little bit about what that experience was like.
It was the best experience of my life. First of all, I'll say that hands down. That was in 2021, and basically Sammy was doing his show down in I believe it was Catalina, if I remember correctly. He did that, right? So Sammy said, "Hey, Red Voodoo, you know, I'm gonna be doing that. How about you guys come down and be, you know, the house band and jam three nights in a row for all the fans that are still going down to Cabo?" And I was like, "Is this happening? Like, what is going on, man?" So me and the boys rehearsed for like days and days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks. And we get down there, and it was my second time in Cabo, because the first time in Cabo in 2020 is when me and Sammy actually got to meet for the first time. Left this out. A lot of lore. But I was 18, so it was around the time when Sammy texted me. It was in September. My birthday is the 20th. And his birthday is October 13th. So my folks, real quick, let me do this little segue right here.
Yes,
so my folks, So my folks took me to Cabo for the first time, because I'm a huge Sammy fan, all that kind of stuff. And Kenny was there. And I'll make this quick. Kenny goes, "Hey, Dino," and it's October 13th, COVID, it's 2020. So there's no birthday bash, no nothing, right? Also, I want to prefix it with this. Eddie Van Halen passed away on October 7th or October 6th. Sorry if I got my dates mixed up. basically that week, you know. So it was a really an emotional experience when Kenny sends me a text and I'm sitting in the Airbnb with my parents and goes, "Hey, get your ass to the Cabo Wabo at 2 o'clock." I'm like, "Oh fuck, okay." So get in the car, go down to the Cabo Wabo. Kenny has a front row table for me and my family, and you know, and it was like, you know, seeing Jesus up there or some shit. You know, walking down the steps with the acoustic guitar. You know, my first time in the Cabo Wabo. You know, I think, you know, 18, so I could drink, and I think I downed like 2 shots because I was so nervous because I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I get Sammy's guy texts me, you know, "Come here now," and Sammy brings me up on stage and gives me a hug, and he's like, "Red Voodoo, I've been hearing about these guys, man. These guys are great," and he asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I want to do, you know, he had his acoustic guitar out. And I said, "Hey, I want to do Finish What You Started," you know. And I wasn't going to tell him because it was because of Eddie, you know, in memory of him or whatever. But I just, you know, I was like, "Hey, man, let's do Finish What You Started." So we did Finish What You Started together. And we did Eagles Fly. And I'm getting goosies right now. And that was just one of the best experiences of my life. And just to share that with my hero. And you know, I still can't believe it to this day, you know. It was just an amazing experience. So I think based on that experience, he went, "Okay, let's give these guys a shot in 2021, a year later, the Cabo Wabo." And that was just a full-blown fucking party, man. It was insane. I mean, there's some stuff, you know, that I won't say on this pod. But, you know, it was just...
No, dude, this is the pod to say it.
This is the pod to say it.
This is the one to say it all.
We're getting flashed and all that kind of shit. And it was just... It was insane, man. It was really fun. But I'll tell you, the first night when we were there, me and David, my guitar player, you know, we met up and met Jorge for the first time, and he was super, super cool, super, super nice. He gave us a kind of a tour of the backstage area, all the memorabilia on the walls, that kind of thing. And we got up and we jammed with the house band. And they were fucking Julieta, love those guys, and they were amazing and everything. And me and Damon got to meet them, and we jammed that first night. Well, out of nowhere, people are like doing their phones and pointing all their phones at the door, and we're like, "What's going on, man?" You know, and people thought Sammy was showing up. Well, I knew Sammy wasn't going to be there because he's in, you know, Catalina. So, Guy Fieri and Chad Kroger pull up just out of nowhere, and I'm like, "Oh my god!" And me and Dave, you know, say what you will about Nickelback, we're huge Nickelback fans, so we're like, "Oh my god, Chad Kroger's here!" You know, like I was singing Rockstar with my dad around the campfire. You know, like I love that song. I just love all Nickelback. So, yeah. So Guy Fieri's there and Chad's there, and we get up with the house band and we jam Rock Candy and everything. And Guy comes over. And Jorge was like, "Oh yeah, hey, go meet Guy and Chad and everything." So Guy and Chad meet us, and I meet him, and Guy's like, "Man, you guys are kick ass." He goes, "Sammy told me to come to watch you guys." He goes, "Are you guys playing tomorrow night?" I said, "Yep, we are." I said, "Dude, it'd be awesome if you could, you know, come out and hang out and stuff." And you know, so we didn't know if Guy was gonna show up. No clue. You know what? You know, it's like I just met Guy Fieri. I took a shot with Guy, you know. So we're all nervous. We're all, you know, I'm super, super nervous. So I text Sammy. I said, "Hey, man," I said, you know, it was the last night, right? So it was on October 13th. And we played 4 nights in a row, 2 hours every night, right? Very last night, I get the Cabo crud. I get some gnarly ass throat fucking sickness. And I'm going, "Oh, shit, man." I'm going, "Oh, shit." So I text Sammy. "Hey, Sammy. Hey," you know, I didn't want to tell him I was sick or getting worried or anything, but I said, "Hey, man," I said, "you have any notes? You have any like notes for a singer, you know, because I'm not feeling too great." And he sends me a whole book, text message, a whole book. And he's like, "No shellfish, you know, don't get in your head." Just, I mean, the most random bizarre things. They were so specific on exactly what to do. I mean, his whole career, you know, he was just spitballing. I mean, the first thing he put is no shellfish, no red wine, no more than 3 shots of tequila. I mean, it was really, really specific stuff. And it was just like, holy crap. And my voice was still thrashed that night, you know. But that was a really cool experience, just getting a kind of a little survival guide to singing from Sammy. So that was really, really cool. I mean, if he would let me share it, I've never asked, but if he would, I would.
That's awesome, man. That's very cool. Well, look, I just got a brand new phone, so like I seem to have misplaced Sammy's number. So if you
oh,
wouldn't
yeah,
mind
yeah. Let
texting
me
me
just,
the number, I'll
yeah,
that'd
yeah.
be awesome.
Right.
Hey, this is Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk. You're listening to the only podcast devoted to the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, the Bogus Oda Show.
So, dude, I mean, look, you said, obviously, you know, you're inspired by Sammy's spirit and his infectious personality and, you know, his passion and his vibe. But technically speaking now, vocally, you know, trying to be in a band where you're emulating Sammy Hagar is like saying, I want to be a runner in the Olympics and then run the Olympic race 13 times in a row in one night. Is there a certain song that you or a certain arrangement of songs you have to place in order to build up to a specific song to keep the stamina, like to match a Sammy? Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, I will say, because I mean, Red Voodoo, we're really going off on our original route, you know, like I said, recording and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, we got to pay for that shit. So what we do is we do 4-hour cover shows of straight Van Hagar, Van Halen, other classic rock bands, that kind of thing. So I mean, I'm singing, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours every weekend,
that's
you know,
insane,
that
right?
kind of
That's a
thing.
Ton. That's a ton.
And it builds, you know, especially, you know, it's like, okay, I'm doing Pound Cake, then I'm doing Runaround, then I'm doing Panama with Born on the Bayou in there, and then I'm doing Good Enough, you know, Why Can't This Be Love? So I think because I chose Sammy as my idol, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm singing your songs in my sound. I think I've been trying to sing like it for so long, or influenced, you know. I try to get a good medium between Sammy Hagar and Paul Rodgers with my voice. That's what I try to
nice.
And to be myself, of course, as well.
Way to aim low, right? Way to aim low, right?
Right. But yeah, you know, and I'm a swimmer as well. So I think, you know, I think swimming, I think I read an interview where Sammy was like, he ran like 5 miles every day. Because I mean, really, when you're a musician, when you're a singer, especially when you're a singer, you're an athlete out there. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not only are you singing, you have to be on key, but you have to make sure you're in shape so you don't run out of breath. You know, I mean, that also too. I mean, you're basically giving it all for how many hours, minutes, whatever. And a lot of people don't know it, but it's really, really straining, especially if you're shooting for the stars and you're like, all right, I'm going to do, you know, Sammy level shit. I think he's one of the most underrated singers on the planet, for sure.
Agree, man. So is there like a song that you, so I guess part, we always do part B questions. So, I mean, is there a specific lyric or run that Sammy does in a song that's your favorite and or is the hardest? Or tell us more about how you actually sing his songs, right?
I would say so in Pound Cake, you know, my baby's out there, there's no sex. That B section right before coming out of the solo. That's like a high B right there, and that I would say when we do our cover shows and put it in our set, you know, I you know, I have to be warmed up. I need like 15, you know, to 20 songs before I'm ready to do that song, because that is such a high intensity part. That whole song, you know, Pound Cake, it's a total build that goes up to that song, that part in the song. But I would say also in Runaround. You know, that song on the record, I believe, is tuned a half step down, where we play all of our songs in standard, tuning, which that's what Sammy did in the 5150 days. You know, I don't think they started doing half steps until I think it was 95, I believe, during the Balance tour. But it's a total vocal warm up workout, and to sing Sammy, it's like you almost have to like thrash your voice. You have to sing so much that like it finally becomes warm, if that makes sense.
Can you
if
feel
that makes
that
sense.
Switch? Can you feel that switch? Because I play guitar and I there's certain songs I avoid because I could feel in my fingers like, okay, I'm ready for that song, because I can just feel like the switch that happens in my hands, my tendons.
Oh yeah.
Do you have that
and
in your
I
throat
guess,
too?
Yeah, I think it's totally. It's like a switch. You're like, okay, you know, it's like, it's almost like with singing. It's like when you start a show, you can't go balls out. You know, you don't take off in an airplane. It goes, you know what I mean? It's like a total, and then you're coasting,
That's
and then
awesome.
you're coasting, and then at the end of the show, I guess instead of a plane landing, I guess I kind of go like this and just kind of go up until I stop. You know, for the end of the show, because you want to give it all at your end. But yeah, you kind of hit a like a plateau, or you know, you start coasting, I would say, and that's where it's like, okay, I'm in this pocket, I'm in this zone, you know, and that's the only way I could really articulate it, if that makes any sense.
No, I get it. That's cool.
Sammy and Eddie, they often said, you know, yeah, we're rock stars, but we're musicians first. You know, we're here to play the music, and that's our passion. I think, you know, Eddie was famous throughout his career for saying over and over and over again, I have no interest in being a rock star. I'm a musician, and I want to play music. And sometimes it's just, you know, any chance, any excuse to play. How would you, in parallel, define success? What's the trajectory of the band? What are your plans, and what is making it mean to you? What does success mean to you guys as a band and as a group of musicians?
Yeah, no, totally. You know, I think there's a lot of definitions for success, but I think, you know, in terms of success or in terms of making it, I think if I could get out on a stage in front of people and make a difference for them, they're having a shitty day, if they're having a bad day, success to me is, you know, getting out in front of all these people and making them feel happy. Really, at the end of the day, you know. If it doesn't pan out, you know, no big rock star or rich or famous or whatever, all the hoopla, you know, I would say as long as, you know, pay the bills and make a difference in someone's life, that's really what I think. And that's what I really think all the rest of the guys think. You know what I mean? I mean, of course, we want to make it on the big stages and get to, you know, where all of our heroes, you know, are or have been. But I think for every musician or every entertainer, they really just want to make a difference and bring joy to people. So that's really where I'm coming from as well.
It's a great answer. Really, really, really solid. I would
Thanks,
say
man.
the vibe I get from you is you're mature beyond your years. There's no question.
Appreciate it.
You're hanging in pretty good with a couple of old guys here, let me tell you.
Hey, whoa.
Sorry, one old
No,
guy. Darren
experience.
is super young. I'm
Experienced.
old. I'm
Yes,
old.
very, very experienced. Let's come back to Mystery Girl. That is
Yeah.
A single that you sent us a link to the other day, just as we were prepping for the show. You've you know, mentioned the connection with Space Between, the producer, and you know, having the opportunity to work there. I'm gonna throw
Yeah.
another 80s rock band similarity thing at you here. I listened to
Sure.
Mystery Girl a few times,
Yeah.
over and over and over. I really wanted to get that song into my head. And what came out to me
Yeah.
really, really prominently was I hear a very distinct Motley Crue style guitar riff. I think of
Okay.
Too Young to Fall in Love or Looks That Kill, you know, a song like that that's got that really driving rhythm groove that can
Right.
also go off on some crazy licks again. What was the influence putting that song together, and what were you guys kind of shooting for when you wrote and recorded that song?
No, totally. You know, I think first of all, Red Voodoo, I mean, that we're really about those big choruses, you know, and I think I really took that from Van Halen and took that from the Wobbaritas, you know. And that kind of big oohs and ahs and that big type of sound that we wanted to go for. You know, as far as the riff, you know, I think the main thing is, you know, that melody and the verses. It's really a two chord progression, a D into a G. So something really easy to sing over, that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, the total 80s influence is there 100%. It's probably, you know, one of our most 80s sounding tracks on our debut EP. And the song is just about falling in love with your high school, you know, sweetheart or high school crush, that kind of thing. Just getting that kind of vibe and picking up that sense. But really, I mean, if you really listen to it, it's really the rhythm of Panama. You know, bum, bam, bum, bam, you know, but we didn't think of that until afterwards, until we're like, oh shit, this sounds like Panama. So I'm kind of happy that you kind of thought it sounded like Motley Crue, which I, it's a great compliment. Thank you. But
well, it's funny how music can mean different things. When I heard it, totally. I was going with like a mid, you know, the Montrose follow up, Paper Money. I was kind of getting like a Montrose kind of vibe in there. But
there's a quote. And I don't think it's on our website, but Sammy has told me, he was like, "Hey, you know, you guys remind me of a young Montrose where I was at in 1973," and another thing too is he told me that my voice sounded like Steve Marriott from, oh man, Humble Pie, I believe. Humble Pie.
Okay, cool, man.
That kind of song. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I think what Mystery Girl too, you know, one of my favorite albums from Sam that I've sing to a lot and just really love is of course Standing Hampton. You know, can't go wrong with that, you know. And mainly, you know, a lot from like the deeper tracks, like, you know, Can't Get Loose. I think that's off that record. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't Get Loose is off there and stuff.
No, it's definitely great. Vibe's definitely in there. I definitely, yeah. You know, the Geffen years, I can totally hear in you guys. Take us through the songwriting process. Like, how do you, obviously, I see guitars behind you there for listeners who can't see. A lot of guitars behind you.
Yeah.
You write, like, how do you guys, what's the songwriting process like?
Yeah. So, you know, it really depends. You know, sometimes Dave and I will get together and, you know, I'll either have a chord progression or that kind of thing and some lyrics over it, and we'll get together and you know, figure out the meat and potatoes, you know, the form. Okay, you know, and that's something that Frank from Tesla really taught us when we recorded those two singles, is how to write a song. In 2019, I would not know how to write a song, but because of him, and of course because of watching, you know, Sammy and Van Halen and just learning, you know, just visually and just listening audio, you know, how to really form a song, we kind of get the form laid out first, right? Kind of get our hooks, kind of get my lyrics all figured out, and then we'll bring it to the rest of the band, bring it to Andy and Andrew, drums and bass, and we'll all get in a room, just kind of how they did in the 5150, you know, days and that kind of thing, and just hash it out. You know, that's really where the magic happens, kind of thing. And then from there is when you get really fun and really technical when it comes to, you know, getting into the studio, and that was really fun. Or we do it also kind of like how Van Halen did it, where all three of the guys will just start jamming something, and then I have to be like, oh shit, I gotta come up with lyrics real fast and come up with the hook and all that kind of stuff like that, because the music is sounding so good. But you know, it's such a fun process, just writing a song, especially when something clicks. You know, I'm one of those type of guys where if you know, I'll spend 2 weeks writing a song, you know, because I'm a perfectionist. Like, I want it to sound really good or the best it can be, you know. But if I come up with a riff or something, and or someone else in the band comes with a riff, and I'm not really jiving with it lyrically or melody, you know, we just kind of move on. But when it strikes gold. You know what I mean? Like, you just know when a song is going to work out, or if a song is going to be good. You know.
When you're talking about playing live, and obviously, you know, doing the tribute that you are, yeah, and selecting the music that you are, how do you go about building a set list for the live show when you've mentioned some really great deep cut tracks, which, you know, for us, we're huge fans of. You know, we love the hits, of course, but the deep tracks are, you know, what really stands out and makes a difference. So how do you guys go about building a set list for a show?
Really? I mean, just to be plain and simple, it's just whatever songs we like playing, you know. It's like, really, I mean, you know, I mean, and we try to do songs, and I'm only talking about the cover stuff here, because since this is a Sammy, you know, pod and that kind of thing, usually the other pods I do is more original, but heavy. But for our Sammy stuff and doing that kind of thing, you know, we really just go, shit, you know, everyone plays this song. What song do we want to do that's not that? Like, we don't play When It's Love, but we play Black and Blue, you know. And then fans who don't know, and David, man, he's a, you know, I'm telling you guys, have to have him on the show. He is an amazing screaming guitar player. We couldn't do the Van Halen stuff if it wasn't for him. I mean, he does.
Let's have him on, Brent. Let's have him on. We just did an episode on tone and guitars, man. It'd be great to hear guitar.
Talk tone. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, you know, you've said something really interesting here. We're obviously focusing very Sammy centric in the overall context of this conversation. But we're very interested in the original music as well. You know, what's driving you in terms of that direction, and what's next? Because of course you don't want to spend your entire life playing someone else's songs. So talk to us about the EP? Is it out? Is it coming out soon? What does that look like?
Yeah, so right now we're in the, you know, we recorded the EP probably about a year ago. And now it's just been kind of from, you know, from 2023 to now, kind of slowly building and getting all of our ducks in the row with heavy promotion. We're going to have very heavy promotion this summer on it, you know, in talks of getting vinyl, in talks of getting CDs. Sammy's about to hear it, so that's really cool. And we've opened for Sammy in July and played some songs off of the EP. Actually, we opened for Sammy in this past July, and it was a really cool moment. I'll touch on this real quick, because when my dad took me to see Sammy 6 years ago or so, you know, I got to open up for Sammy for the very first time at the venue where I saw him for the first time.
That's cool.
And that was really cool. But I digress, you know, so we're getting the EP set up. We're looking around June for our debut EP, heavy promotion. And we're going to be releasing a single, new single this month off the EP, our second single, with a video. So hopefully when this airs, it will be out by then. Do you know when you're airing it, by the way?
Yeah, we'll probably be out by the end of the week.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have another very Montrose, very, very Montrose heavy kind of sounding single. So with a little bit of a little Standing Hampton thrown in there too.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great, man. So, I mean, it sounds like you guys are on the right path. You got the right team behind you. What's the plans?
For the time being, I've just kind of been taking the reins from here, trying to get our team and everything kind of put together and that kind of thing. And you know, we've been really grateful and very honored that Sammy and his management team have been kind of working with us here and there, helping us to get on the right track and hooking us up to different people. But yeah, I mean, really, we're hoping for getting on tours, hoping to get on some runs, that kind of thing. That's going to be coming, you know, really soon. Well, we're shopping right now.
I heard there's a big summer tour happening this summer with someone we know. Any special appearances in the wings? You think you'll appear?
Time will tell. We will see. I know he's coming to two shows in my neck of the woods. So
in case the guys from Loverboy get sick and need someone, come on, you should be in the wings.
Hey, right? Hey, didn't hear it from me.
Hey, Loverboy.
Didn't hear it from me. No, that'd be really cool.
Awesome, man. Well, we appreciate you having you on the show, and love to talk more about the technical side of singing at some point. So one last question for me on the technical side. I can't see, for me, at some point I have to ask Sammy this question, because he always seems to gloss over how this magical voice kind of disappeared. I know he sat on the end of his bed and played his, but there seems to be another element that just kind of, this magical voice just appeared. So, I mean, in terms of how you following those footsteps, I mean, any insight onto, like, you know, for me, I've always been, it blows my mind how Sammy he doesn't use teleprompters, right? He knows every, how hard is it for you
Which
to
I think
remember
you should.
All the lyrics, right? do you know all the lyrics? Like, are you, do you remember your own lyrics and his lyrics, and how big is your catalog in your brain?
Man, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not like Toby Keith, God rest his soul, who knew every single lyric on the planet, you know? I don't know if you saw Sammy with the Rock and Roll Road Trip with Toby Keith, but, you know, he was saying he was that kind of guy. But yeah, I think it almost becomes like a muscle memory. You know, I mean, your own songs are different, but for Sammy, because I've been singing and just been a fan for so long, and that's my job. I get up there and I sing, you know, that's your job. You know what I mean? Got to get up there and entertain and remember the lyrics, you know? And I think, honestly, it's just a muscle memory. I can't really explain it. It's hard for me to explain from a vocal. I've never had vocal lessons or that kind of thing, so I really don't even know the terminology. It's all really based off of feeling. It's really based off of feeling, which, you know, that's basically like saying fuck all. you know,
it sounds good. But, it is good.
Yeah, exactly. So, as far as the technical side,
You answered, man. You answered. Really, it's rock and roll.
Yeah. It's rock
and roll.
And
do
all,
it. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Dino, last word. Where can we find out more information about what you guys are up to, when you're going on the road? Tell us and our listeners how we can find you.
Yep. So we have our official site, redvoodooband.com. Get merch, tour updates, all that good stuff. We're on Instagram at Red Voodoo Band, Facebook at Red Voodoo. Got our TikTok going on, also at our handle Red Voodoo. And yeah, and any other crazy social media platform that pops up.
Good stuff. So we've been chatting with Dino McCord, the frontman for Red Voodoo. And the last thing I have to say is, behind me, I feel like something's moving. It's trying to hypnotize. And we are the Bohos out.
The Bohos Bonus Show is produced by Right Now Entertainment. Hosted by Darren Bristow and Brent Kinnair. With audio and production assistance by Andrew Wright and Record Ready in association with Right Now Entertainment. What is understood need be discussed.
Bogus Soda Show. Too fucking funny.